Take your Bibles tonight and turn to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to talk a little bit about the fruit of the Spirit, what it is and what it isn't. And I think, Jeff, what do you tell the story about Barney on the Andy Griffith Show? He had slept through most of church. And when he got to the door with the preacher asked him how he liked the message. And he said, "Oh, preacher, you can't ever preach too much on sin." He didn't have a clue what the preacher had preached on. But Galatians 5:19, here the Apostle Paul tells you what the carnal works of the flesh are. And then a little later he gives you the work of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Here's the works of the flesh, it says in Galatians 5:19, are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Adultery, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, here it is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. So that's a good message right there, being desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. So I started talking tonight about the music business. A lot of that goes on in the music business. I like when a gospel group comes here to sing, or anybody sings, I don't want them to come to share the glory with Jesus Christ. I want them to share His glory with others. There's a difference. When I sing a song, I'm not there to share my glory with Jesus Christ. I don't have any. All that I am, anything good that emanates from me is from the precious Spirit of God. So here it says, let us not be desirous of vain glory. And man, we're always giving out awards to one another. We just love to lift each other up. And the Bible says to give honor where honor's due. I understand that. But when you get in the church house, it's all about God. Your daily walk should be all about God and bringing Him glory. Glory to God. We're here that we might bring Him glory. So Jesus says this. He said, "I am the true vine." I'm in John 15:1. He said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. And every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." He said, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Remember that verse about the washing of the water by the word. That word will clean you up. If you'll listen to it and take it to heart and believe it and trust in it, it'll clean you up. "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples." All right, we look at these verses in John 15. We often look at fruit bearing. Many times we have a tendency to just put fruit bearing as winning souls. Well, that's part of it. But it looks like through the context, fruit bearing has to do with bearing that nine fruit of the Spirit. Showing forth those nine fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the kind of fruit that a Christian should bear. By their fruits ye shall know them. You find a kind-hearted fellow always bragging on God. He's good, faithful, fruit of the Spirit is love. And notice that that's a fruit of the Spirit. It's not talking about this carnal, lustful love that the world promotes today. It's talking about the love that God gives you and develops in you. It's a fruit of the Spirit, that kind of love. I'm the vine, and ye're the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Then in verse 8 he says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. You want to be a disciple? That means someone who is a follower of Jesus Christ. You want to be a disciple? Then you need to bear some of that spiritual fruit that the Lord talked about. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. I've been in churches where you don't have a whole lot of meekness. Man, you thought you'd, I don't know. Everything is so formal and this and that. And man of God, one of the things should be is have some meekness. Not my way or the highway. Nevertheless, what saith the scriptures? And you approach that book with meekness and with a humble heart and a believing spirit, a teachable spirit. And God will show you something and you'll get along with everyone. You'll love one another. So the Lord is saying here the kind of fruit that a Christian should bring forth is a kind that involves these nine things he mentioned in Galatians chapter 5. Joyce, would you hunt me a bottle of water, please? Galatians 5:19, he said, now the works, now here's a list of the sinful things that come from following the flesh. There's a contrast here. He said, now the works of the flesh are manifest. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Man, that's quite a list. That's a long list. It said you shouldn't be involved with that stuff. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, that means it's lustful. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. Variance, that's a good word. Variance, according to Webster, means someone who is in a state of dissension or controversy. You're always at variance, either with a preacher or someone in church or someone in the home, someone in your family. You just can't get along because that's called variance in Scripture. Thank you.
That was a two-person job.
Oh, you say $2.50. Oh, two-person jobs. So I've got a list somewhere of words like that word variance. You see these words, and you're not sure what they mean. I'll go over a whole list of those words some night in the Bible that you run into. You're not sure exactly what they mean. So it says, in a state of enmity, always wanting to fuss. Variance. And you find a lot of that in the church. Folks will, there's some folks, no matter where they're at, they like to keep stuff stirred up. And you'll find homes like that. I've been around some families, and if they're in a big fuss going on all the time, they're not happy. They've got to keep something going on. God said that's not a fruit of the Spirit. Got to watch out for that stuff. Sowing discord. Lord said he hated folks that sow discord among the brethren. Lord wants you to have some meekness, not envy one another. The Bible says only by pride cometh contention. Usually if there's pride right in the middle of every argument. Every argument in the home, every argument in the church, every argument on the job. Pride's right in the middle of it normally. Some folks seem like they always have to have a disagreement with someone, and the Bible says that is the works of the flesh and not the fruit of the Spirit. So then after variance, Paul gives another $10 word, and that's emulations. Noah Webster defines emulations as the act of attempting to equal or excel in qualities or actions. Man, that guy can't preach. You just wait till I get up there. I can preach better than he can. Well, he can't sing. Wait till I get up. Wait till they hear me. God don't like that kind of stuff. God hates that kind of stuff. Always trying to outdo somebody. Emulations. Wow. The act of attempting to equal or excel in qualities of action. Rivalry. Desire of superiority. Attended with effort to attain to it. And then it gives a sense here. It says in a bad sense, a striving to equal or do more than others to obtain carnal favors or honors. That's one of Webster's definitions. Contest, contention, strife, competition, rivalry, accompanied with a desire of excelling someone else. And that's somebody who's always trying to outdo someone else. Just and yeah, it's a prideful thing. You do it to show that I'm better than you are. Yeah, I'm better than you are. My daddy can beat up your daddy. I like the bumper sticker. My God can beat up your God. I like that one. Some folks do that by putting down people. So get in their head, if you put down somebody else, makes you look better. Wow. The idea is the more that they make someone else look bad, the better it will make them look. That's in their head. And God says it's not a spiritual trait. Nothing spiritual about that. It's carnal. It's carnality. A trait of the flesh. A fellow wrote this down one time and said, great men talk about ideas. Mediocre men talk about things. Small men talk about people. It gives that quote, gives that credit to, for that quote to Admiral Hyman Rickover. Great men talk about ideas. We in the church, we ought to be talking about God's work, the glory of God, and what God's doing here. There's even a little dissension on the internet. They've got a big revival up in Burlington. Is it North Carolina, South Carolina? North Carolina? Burlington, and John Thompson, a buddy of mine from Terre Haute, took a group up there. Man, how many they had saved? 600, maybe 1,000 people saved at this meeting at Burlington. Jeff talked to Brian McBride. Was he up there or heading that way? And I'm excited for that. All those folks getting saved, a big revival breaking out. I'm hoping it catches on and goes all across this country of ours. I'm praying for that. But some of the preachers, I got the insinuation or the inference from what I'd read, some of the preachers didn't like it. And preachers are an odd bunch now. You can, a church will have 30 people saved, and a lot of preachers say, well, I bet only about 10 of them really got saved. Well, why do you have that negative opinion about that? Says there's 3,000 saved after Pentecost. I bet there's preachers, some of those old Pharisee preachers said, well, I bet there's only about 200 that really got saved. You know? Hey, get on the bandwagon. I'm all for them. Bob Jones Sr. said, if a dog runs through town barking Jesus, I'll throw a bone to him. I'm kind of that way. Hey, I'm all for God's work. It don't have to be what I'm doing. It's what God's doing. A lot of truth to that. Revelation 12, the devil's referred to as the accuser of the brethren. Oh, that's just a bunch of foolishness over there. Accusing the brethren all the time. And whenever you start accusing the brethren, you just become one of the devil's little helpers. You're doing just what he's doing. Need to jump on the bad bandwagon and say, glory to God. Hope they all get saved. Hope the whole world gets saved. Hope it brings Jesus Christ, that he comes. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. He said, behold, I come quickly. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. It stirs me up to see revival. Don't have to be in my church. I remember one time Dwight Kaufman was preaching a meeting up at Jerry Hillenburg's. Do you remember that, Jeff? Up at Hope Baptist Church in Indianapolis. I think that's one of the churches that Wilbur Hurt pastored for many years. And they said 70 people got saved at that church. And one day, that's pretty incredible. That's wild. Joseph and I have sang up that church. You guys sang up there? Okay. You probably hadn't reached that level yet. Say what it's about. Yeah. But can you imagine 70 people? Now, we've had seven or eight at a time come forward here for salvation, and that just lights me up. Man, that's like a kid on Christmas morning seeing all those folks get saved. We baptize seven or eight at a time. That's good. That's good. We jump in, we start putting down one another. The devil's, I got written down here, the devil is amen in every word that you say. Wow. Brian McBride just mentioned him. He said something one time that I took to heart, and I've made this clear in church, but he said in so many words that we absolutely have no right as Christians to be critical of someone else if we have never invested prayer in that person. You don't like the way somebody's doing? Have you prayed for him? Well, I've talked about him. Have you prayed for him? Well, I told brother so-and-so, have you prayed for him? That's a pretty good rule. That'll help you grow as a Christian. If you get that out of your heart, instead of going and telling on somebody, that you go pray for somebody. Tell it to Jesus. Say, Lord, help that fella. He's got a struggle, Lord. Help him with it. Get him through it, Lord. That'll do so much more good than you just bad-mouthing somebody for some weakness that they've got. You know, but because we have every right, somebody comes up to us and starts talking about one of the brothers or sisters and a problem they got, you really have a right to say, okay, what's your problem? We've all got them. Yeah, me too. A bunch. And Joyce are going, huh? Brother McBride is right. You disagree with someone, invest some prayer in that person. Ask God to help them and to help you to not have a critical spirit. Nothing hurts church more than a critical spirit. Fellow said, well, I just don't think Sister So-and-so ought to be doing that. Well, then pray for her. I need prayer. You need prayer. If someone you know is worthy of criticism, well, then they're worthy of you bringing them to God and asking God to help them, give them strength. When's the last time you prayed for President Obama? Getting kind of quiet in here. I pray for him. God knows I can't stand him, but I pray for him. Because God tells me to. I pray for his salvation. I heard today, Brother Copeland told me today that it is on one of the news programs that Obama's brother said he was going to vote for Trump. But I pray for our president. He needs to be saved. We all huddle up as Democrats or Republicans and we forget about Christianity and doing what's right. Standing with men who stand with the right. There's an old song, Brother Jones might remember it. Jenny Griffin and Bob used to sing it all the time. Hold fast to the right. My mama sang it when she was a little girl. Hold fast to the right, hold fast to the right. Wherever you may roam. Forsake not the way of salvation, my boy. Hold fast to the right. Forget about politics, but hold fast to the right. My, my, my. I need prayer. We all need prayer. Pray that God would give our president faith. Somebody, a witness of the gospel, get him saved and then give him faith to do. If he claims he's a Christian, look at the Bible and do what God tells you to do. We're a nation who is forgetting God. God is against abortion. The innocent blood cries out. God is against homosexuality. The verses are clear. That don't mean that I hate them. No, I've led a dozen to the Lord. Had a couple one time, a couple lesbian girls one time up the apartment buildings there at Charlie Moore Apartments. Went through salvation with them. They prayed and cried and said, "Well, can we come to your church?" I said, "Yeah, you can come, but you won't like what you hear." Now, membership's different. If someone's practicing, they can't be a member. But somebody repents of it and gets her heart right, well, look at that. But they can come in here preaching, but I told them you won't like what you hear because the Bible's against the way you're living. God loves you. God wants you to get saved and forsake what you're doing, but that's up to you. It's dealer's choice. Do what you want to do. But I've heard preachers spend a lot of time in their ministry just finding fault with other preachers. Bible says in Romans 14:4, "Who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand." James 4:12, "There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who art thou that judgeth another?" Wow. So here in our text, the works of the flesh are manifest: emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, that's false doctrine, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Man, that's a long list. And then at the end it says, and such like, and all the stuff like what he just said. And that such like covers a lot of things in the same categories as the other things. Fellow one time went through a whole bunch of money in a short time, and somebody asked him where it all went to. He told him he spent 90% of it on whiskey and women, and he squandered the rest. We've heard that story. Well, that's kind of how some people look at things. And God said that stuff is not of the Spirit. When that stuff comes into your mind, you got to know that that's the flesh speaking and it's not the Spirit. World and the flesh, it does such a good job on a lot of us. The devil don't have to do too much to keep us from serving God, because the flesh does its own thing. That the flesh and the world works on us enough, the devil can relax quite a bit. A lot of folks say, "Well, oh, the devil made me do that." No, a lot of the times it's just your old carnal flesh, and you listen to it, not into that still small voice of the Spirit. You just obeyed the flesh instead of the Spirit. Devil might not have been within 20 miles of you. His little emissaries. For all that is in the world, it says in 1 John 2:16, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. God says to mortify the flesh. When you feel those things within your flesh, you shouldn't be happy about it. Say, "God, help me." How many times I've told God, "Lord, I'll be glad to get a new body where I will, where I don't have to be subject to all this foolishness that I'm faced with every day." You are too. Get a new body. He says to crucify the flesh, consider it dead. Paul said, "I die daily." But here it gives the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, in contrast to all those carnal things, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's Galatians 5:22. No law against that. My, my, my. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. My. John 15:3, now you're clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. See, if you're going to bear fruit of the Spirit, you can't do it on your own. You can't, a branch of a fruit tree cannot bear fruit of itself. It has to abide in the vine. He says in John 15:3, now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Any good that you do is through Christ. It's got to give him glory. It's about him. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Can't do a thing without Jesus Christ. Oh, we can do a lot of posturing and we can make a big show of some things, but unless God's in the middle of it, it's kind of beating the air. It just don't do much good. I mean, you can get on one of the, I bought one of those stationary bicycles one time, try to lose weight. And I rode that thing for, I don't know, an hour one day, and I didn't go anywhere. I was still in the same place that I started. I don't think I lost any weight either. After a while, I quit riding it, and then I started hanging clothes on it and stacking boxes on it. Finally, I gave it to somebody. I think I might have given it to Jeff. But you can't just beat the air. The Holy Spirit of God has to be involved in any work. Any work that accomplishes anything has to be through Christ, in Christ, for the glory of Christ. If not, we're just a social organization. But ye are the body of Christ, and you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God and your body and spirit, which are God's. We belong to him. We should glorify him. And Paul gives us the differences. You should recognize what is the fruit of the Spirit and what is the fruit of the flesh. The works of the flesh. You don't call it in that passage, you don't call it the fruit of the flesh. You call it the works of the flesh. And it all comes within the hearts of men. Hearts are wicked. That's why the Lord in Genesis 6 destroyed the world. He looked upon the men, repented God that he'd made men. The hearts were deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, the Bible says about the human heart. He said, who can know it? You got to learn to reckon. If you're gonna win the battle, you need to know who your enemy is. You need to know that those works of the flesh are enmity with the things of God. For the Spirit, Paul said, warreth against the flesh, and the flesh against the Spirit, so that you can't do as you ought. So you've got that battle that continually wages in your life and in your heart, and within your flesh. And the flesh wants to stay home and watch TV. The Spirit says, boy, I'd sure like to be around some Spirit-filled Christians. I'd sure like to hear the preaching of the Word, Spirit says. Yeah, but I heard the fish are biting down at so. What's the story I used to tell on you, Jeff? I said that I accused Jeff of laying out of church to go to a Reds game. And he said, I did not, and I've got the fish to prove it. Oh, well. Got to know the enemy. Know the works of the flesh, what they are and what they're not. Understand what the fruit of the Spirit is. And that spiritual love is different than carnal love. The love that God produces is an enduring love, a lasting love, a real love. A nourishing love. Love, joy. Are we joyous? Love, joy, peace. Do you have peace about things? Jesus says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we should find peace in that. My peace I give unto thee. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. See, it's a different kind of peace. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Are you long-suffering? That means you put up with things for a while. Somebody does something contrary to you, don't jump up and have a fit about it. You're kind of long-suffering. You give them some room. Give them a chance to get through what they're getting through. Long-suffering, gentleness. Not too much gentleness. Gentleness even in the church today. A lot of times those old-time preachers, you could tell a man just gentle as a... That's a first cousin of meekness that's also in that list. Bible says about Moses, I wondered why God had chosen Moses to lead that nation of Israel out of Egypt. And you'll find that verse where it says, for Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. Why in the world would God choose the meekest man to lead 3 million people out of Egypt? Duh. You wouldn't do that. Oh, you don't want that guy. He's too laid back. He's too meek. Yeah, no, you won't, don't want that. You need a... That's the problem with the Jews. When they were looking for their Messiah, they wasn't looking for the meek and lowly Jesus. They wanted a superhero. We want Saul. We want a guy like him. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Goodness. Man, he's a good fella. Down in the hills they say, he's a good feller. Good feller. Good man. Good person. I've done some of those funerals of people that when I meet with the family that said nobody, I've never heard anyone in all my life say a bad word against that man. He's a good man. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit, if you've got goodness in your heart. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Got to have faith. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's faith. God, I'm going to trust in You. I have faith, Lord, that You're going to do what I know I can't do it, but I know that there's nothing You can't do. It's called faith. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. There's that word meekness. And the last one is temperance. Back in the days when they'd have the battle between prohibition and alcohol, they had a temperance society. Temperance means you're moderate. It's temperate means moderation. It means you don't overdo anything. And you start talking about temperance, you'll find the people that are intemperate, they'll get involved in something to the point where it takes the place of God and it becomes an idol to them. There's a verse of scripture where I think Isaiah said, and this thing became an idol. Wasn't an idol to begin with, but the place you put it in your heart is made it, turned it into an idol. He said, against those things, there's no law against those things. That's a fruit of the Spirit. You abide in Jesus Christ. He's the husband. Or we are the husband. How's that verse go? But He's the vine. We abide in the vine. Bring forth fruit from Him. We'd examine ourselves. Where are we with this fruit bearing? I don't remember one in that long list. I don't remember any of those that say real religious. Look out. The devil hangs out with a religious crowd. There's a religious crowd that got our Lord crucified. Look out. Pure religion and undefiled before God and man is this, that to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions and to remain unspotted by the world. Boy, that's a hard one, that unspotted by the world thing. All right. I'm done. Everyone stand up. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ for salvation, why not? Why not? God loves you. He wants you to do right, wants you to live right. You can't have the fruit of the Spirit without the Spirit. And you don't get that Spirit until you trust in Jesus Christ. He is called a quickening Spirit. He is a Spirit that makes alive again. That Spirit which is dead in you, He makes alive and indwells you and empowers you to bring forth fruit, that fruit of the Spirit, and empowers you to get victory over the works of the flesh. My God is good. I don't guess we have a song of invitation. So I'm going to ask Jerry if you would just go ahead and dismiss us, and we'll go ahead and get involved with Bible school here tonight.